And it is time once again for another edition of Wild Weekly here on The Scoop, joined as always by Jake Jensen of The Athletic. Jake, it's 2019. Hope your holidays and New Year were outstanding. Unfortunately, not as good of a time for the Wild here recently, but we're still going to have a good time, and we're going to break it all down.
Absolutely. It's a brand new year, so the Wild are 0-0 right now, so, you know, it's perfect going into 2019 for them to never lose a game and all that stuff, so let's get after it, huh?
Yeah, let's break it, break down what we've seen. Unfortunately, to close out 2018, the Wild lost 6 of their last 7 games. So let's start with just describing that final portion of 2018, a bit of a dud, but how would you describe the last few games for the Wild before the new year?
Yeah, well, for lack of a better word, it sucks that they had to go on the slide, because at the beginning of the year, they were top 3 team in the league at one point. It looked like Bruce was well on his way to another 100-point season. And now that is very much, in flux right now. Just the team kind of looks sloppy. They entered 2019 not playing good hockey at all. You know, they're the 5th worst team in the West at this point. So, that's not great. They're 3-6-1 in their last 10. They, probably should have won that game in Pittsburgh. Or against Pittsburgh, I should say, but they ran into another hot goalie. The Wild always seem to run into hot goalies, and they can't score right now. So I think, they definitely have some issues that they need to address coming into this year if they do want to continue the postseason streak that they've been on the past couple of years.
We're going to go with the New Year's theme here quite a bit today, and first angle of that is I want you to give us your New Year's resolution for the Wild in 2019. You can go any way you'd like with this. What do you want to see from the Wild, or what would you like to see them do as the rest of the year unfolds?
All right, yeah, I've got 3, but the big 2 that come to my mind right away, and these are in all caps, by the way. find a goal scorer, and then score some more goals on top of that are my top 2. It's been haunting this franchise since its inception. They defend well. They have the second-best penalty kill in the league at this point. That's never been the problem. Defending has never been a problem. Stopping goals has never been a problem, although Dubnyk's been a bit leaky as of late. But they need to score goals, and their guys aren't getting it done. So whether that's via trade, whether that's down the line in free agency, if they have a poor end of the year, maybe that's getting a top profile guy in the draft. But they really need to find a goal scorer, or their quote-unquote goal scorers need to start scoring some goals. Jason Zucker, who is best on the team at it, has 1 goal in his past 10 games and just 10 on the season. That's nowhere near good enough for the contract he got in the offseason to be the goal scorer for this team. So I think that those 2 are huge, and then more consistent play from Devin Dubnyk would definitely be at the top of the list as well. He's shown flashes, but he's also been really, really bad at times as well. So, more consistent play from him and some more goals from the forwards.
How much longer do you think Paul Fenton will let things go as they have before he starts to make some trades for just some new talent to bring to this team?
Yeah, well, like you said, they finished 2018 losing 6 of their final 7 games. So they're currently on a slide right now. Every single day that goes by, they're losing ground in the playoff race. So then the question does become, how long does it take Paul Fenton to start finally making some moves? He hasn't done anything yet. He's been patient, which I think is the right thing at this point. Like I was alluding to, it depends. Does this team want to make a push for the playoffs, or do they want to just continue with what they have and whatever happens, happens type of way? At this point, they could really use a top 10 in the draft, in my opinion. They're a team that they're not really rich in prospects or anything like that. And in a league that's turning faster and more skilled, they lack one of those guys. And what better way to do that than get a nice high draft pick in the draft in June? But, it's going to depend on how they do these next couple months and where they're at come trade deadline time. Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet reported in his fantastic 31 Thoughts article that the Wild are currently a team to watch. And he kind of brings up the same questions that you just did. How long does it take until he starts making moves, or if he doesn't make moves? So it could go either way, but at this point, you know, it's going to be interesting to watch regardless of what happens.
Yeah, that is for sure. Looking at some of the upcoming games, we'll start by taking a look at the Wild taking on the Maple Leafs. And the Wild, at this point, just trying to get back on track here to start off the new year. So let's look at this matchup. Toronto 26-11-2, the Wild 18-17-3. What's the biggest key for the Wild to start off 2019 with a win?
Yeah, Toronto's pretty decent, aren't they?
Yeah, pretty good.
But, you know, it's a weird 1 o'clock game today, another 1 o'clock game next week, which we'll get to. But for right now, I would say that they have to try and stop Austin Matthews and co. I mean, these guys are just prolific, and they score and score and score, and the Wild are going to have to score to keep up in this game. But the good thing for them is the Maple Leafs are without their top two goalies. Frederick Anderson, they just put him on IR this morning. He's day-to-day and stuff like that. I'm not quite sure what the injury is there. And then their backup, Garrett Sparks, is currently being evaluated for a concussion. He took a puck off the dome last practice. I think it was yesterday. So now they have Michael Hutchinson, who they just got for a fifth-round pick about a week ago. So, you know, this is a game where the Wild probably should win. Their third-string goalie's in, and they need to pepper him with all the shots. But it wouldn't doubt me. I wouldn't have a doubt in my mind if Michael Hutchinson came out today looking like, you know, the next Marty Turco or Dominic Hasek or, you know, whoever else, because the Wild tend to make average goalies look fantastic. But score some goals today and defend like they have, because defending hasn't been the problem.
Next up, the Wild will take on the Senators, and as you mentioned, this one, again, is we're getting some early starts for this Wild team. So looking at this matchup against the Senators, what's the biggest key there for the Wild to come away with a win?
Well, they have a Tkachuk on their team, so I think that's probably number one to where the Wild have to try and stop him and not let him get under their skin. Brady Tkachuk, who was the third overall pick in the draft this past June, has just been unreal for them as a rookie, one of the best young players in the league currently. And as Wild fans know, his brother Matthew is quite the pest for the Wild. And Brady is, you know, more of the same. He's not quite as pesty, but he can be just equally as pesty, I would say. And he's good to go along with that pestiness. So they need to stop him and make sure he doesn't get under the Wild skin. And hopefully for the Wild, Thomas Chabot, the Senators all-star guy on the back end, is out as well because he's been out with an injury. So, you know, maybe some luck there with Chabot being out still. We'll wait and see. But they need to stop, you know, the Senators, who have been pretty surprisingly good this season.
Next up, the Wilds on Monday will take on the Montreal Canadiens, and the Canadiens fifth in the Atlantic Division. They're 21-14-5. So looking at this matchup, the Wild on the road as part of a lengthy road trip, what do the Wild need to do? What's the biggest key for them to beat Montreal?
Yeah, well, I think, I mean, I said it in the last section there against the Senators, pest, I think I said the word 80 times, but don't let the pest get the best of them against the Canadians, because the Canadians had two really good ones in Gallagher and Shaw, the Wild fans and the Wild themselves obviously know Andrew Shaw from his days in Chicago. But, you know, don't let these guys get under the skin. The Wild seem to have an issue of letting these kind of players get under their skin and rattle them and not let them play their game the way that they need to. So I think it's just stopping those guys and, once again, score some freaking goals.
Next up, and the final one that we will talk about before next week's segment, is the Wilds will be at Boston taking on the Bruins. And for the Bruins, so far this season, they come in with a record of 22-14-4. They're third in the Atlantic Division. So final one here, Jake. What is the biggest key for the Wild to come away with the win against Boston?
I think the biggest thing here is pretty obvious. It's stopping that top line of Brad Marchand, Patrice Bergeron, and David Pastrnak. For the past couple years that they've been together now, they've been one of the best, if not the best line in the National Hockey League. You know, they just got so much on that line with Marchand and everything that he is as a player. Bergeron continues to be one of the most underrated players I've ever seen. He's just incredible the way that he plays two-way. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if the Selke is eventually named after him because he's so good defensively as a forward. And David Pastrnak is just electric. So if they can stop that top line, the Bruins don't have the best depth right now. They're a little bit banged up. So I think that if they stop that line, then they have a pretty good shot in the game.
Next up, just a couple more Wild questions before we get to the shootout portion of the segment. Looking at the All-Star selections, we'll talk more about this in a little bit, but Devan Dubnyk selected to represent the Wild in the All-Star game. Was he the most deserving Wild player, or should somebody else have gotten the nod?
No, he was not the most deserving Wild player, and I think just about everyone besides the NHL knows that. I think Michael Granlund or Zach Parise should have been the representative, but quite frankly, with the way that the system is and the way everything works, it just had to be Devan Dubnyk, I guess, once again, which has kind of seemed like the way the past 2 years. So I'm going to throw some stats at you here. There's 8 goalies selected for the All-Star game. He's tied for 15th in the NHL in wins. He's 21st in save percentage, and he's 18th in goals against average. That's definitely not a top 8 goalie. And stats, not even watching him, he should not be anywhere near the All-Star game right now. So that raises a cause for concern, but, you know, regardless, right now Zach Parise still has a shot, but I don't think he's worthy of being the Wild All-Star game in the All-Star game for the Wild, and I think Michael Granlund or Zach Parise should have been the representative.
We've got more to talk about with the All-Star game here in a little bit, but I did also want to bring this full circle to talk about the Iowa Wild a little bit as well. As it sounds like they are having a pretty fantastic season and close things out pretty nicely in the final few games of 2018. So where do things sit with the Iowa Wild looking into 2019?
Absolutely. For the Wild organization in general, the NHL and AHL team, they've been the bright spot of 2018 for sure. We'll see how things go in 2019. But as of right now, they sit first place in the Central Division, first place in the Western Conference. They got the third most points in the AHL. And as of right now, ever since he got sent down, Joel Eriksson-Ek can't stop scoring goals. It's a bit odd because he couldn't do that for the big club. But currently he has 4 goals in his last 3 games since being sent down. So I think the longer he stays down there, the better. They have a winning culture as of right now. And Tim Army seems to be like a really, really fantastic coach and a great fit for a young kind of up-and-coming team.
Moving on to the shootout portion of today's segment. And Jake, looking at a fascinating story that unfolded on The Athletic in the last week in dealing with the Dallas Stars. They evidently felt the need to call out a couple of their best players. In an interview with their reporter for The Athletic, which I thought was just fascinating that they would allow that to pop up in public. So what was your reaction? I've got a couple of different questions for this one. What was your reaction? Have you ever heard of any team's upper management doing this? And was it the right call for the Stars to criticize some of their top players in this fashion?
Yeah, well, I thought, like first of all, like you were saying, it's just fascinating, this whole thing, and that evidently the Stars' upper management wanted this. They said plain and simple that the reporters weren't writing it, so they had a meeting with the reporters and told them to write it, that, their stars, Tyler Seguin and Jamie Benn, weren't performing. Maybe it was the right call because it seems to have woken them up. In the 3 games since, they're 2-0-1, so they've gotten points in every game. Sagan has 2 goals and 2 assists. Ben has 2 goals, but unfortunately he just got hurt last game, so he only played 5 minutes. But for whatever reason, it seems to have woken him up, and kind of a big pride check, I guess. This is something that they've wanted to address for the past year or so. And luckily for us at The Athletic, Sean Shapiro, the writer for the Dallas Stars, got all the inside info.
It's going to be amazing to see if there's any further ripple effects to this, because I know as Michael Russo, I saw him tweeting about it. It's a very bold strategy to do this, and the Stars certainly hoping that it works in their favor, because if not, well, then there are a bunch of other issues that have to be dealt with. So
absolutely, maybe the Wild could snag one of them from them.
Hey, there you go. Get Paul Fenton on the phone. Get that going.
Absolutely.
Jake, we mentioned the All-Star game. The players were selected. At least the initial roster was selected. Any big snubs that we saw in this this early portion of the selection process?
Yeah, well, as we were saying earlier in the segment, you know, with the way the current roster is set up and how every team needs a representative, there's bound to be snubs, and it's just something that has happened. We've seen it the past couple of years now, ever since this new format was implemented. But I look at a couple big ones. Mitch Marner, Braden Point, Jeff Skinner. You know, Jeff Skinner, there's only one better goal scorer in the league than him right now, and that's Alex Ovechkin, who, funny enough, isn't going this year, but that's a whole different story. And then I got a couple goalies, too. Frederik Andersen and Andrei Vasilevskiy, arguably the two best goalies in the NHL this year, but they ran into injury trouble, and just the fact that every team needs a representative has gotten in the way of them being in the All-Star game. You know, there's not a doubt in my mind that Andrei Vasilevskiy is the best goalie in the entire NHL right now. And there is, you know, a very big possibility that he won't even be able to go there this year, barring injuries or something like that. You know, there's a lot of omissions this year, and that's kind of unfortunately just the way it had to be.
And there also apparently is going to be discipline if players don't elect to participate in All-Star Weekend, as Alex Ovechkin has found out. It sounds like he's going to be suspended for a game for choosing to rest up as opposed to participating in the All-Star break. Should players be disciplined for not, or should it be understandable that they want to take a break midway through the season to just rest up and gear up for a playoff push?
Yeah, well, there's a couple of different ways that you could look at this, and a couple of them are interesting, I think. So first off, he's going to have to miss one game, or he'll be suspended for one game. And I do believe it's him and the team's choice if he wants to do it the game before the All-Star break or the game after. Don't quote me on that. I'm not exactly sure, but I believe that's the case. And, you know, this does raise, you know, suffer the discussion of should players be able to skip if they want to? Should they not? Should they be disciplined, like you said? But, you know, I think maybe if you have some pedigree like Ovechkin, I know someone brought up the point, if you've already been to 5 All-Star games in your career, if you're above 30, you should be able to take the opportunity and decline it and get some rest. You know, so maybe it is like that, but I don't really think, you know, I feel like this is the league getting in the way and them being selfish at this point. You know, if a player doesn't want to go, you know, why should you go? If you're just going to, you know, kind of half-ass it in a way, for a better, lack of a better term. But, you know, I don't really think they should be disciplined. I think it's their choice as a player. And, you know, if they're good enough, they should be able to do that. But at the same time, the NHL, I do understand that they want the best players there. But if they want the best players there, then they should knock it off with this format and just get the best players there instead of the representative from every team, in
yeah.
my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. It's the same thing with Major League Baseball. Is you get these players who, as a just because of strictly having to have somebody for every team, you get players that are not even remotely worthy.
Right.
So, yeah, I agree with you on that. But it'll be interesting to see if there's any other players that elect to just take a little bit longer of an All-Star break, as opposed to participating in the game itself. And I guess that's Gary Bettman's problem now.
He has a lot of them these days.
Yeah, he's got plenty, including the Winter Classic, which I didn't even know had actually happened. I used to think back when this first kind of became a thing that it was amazing, but it seems like it's kind of fallen off a little bit. Is there any way that the NHL can do anything to make these outdoor games a little bit more of a prominent feature?
Yeah, well, as you were saying, you know, when it first started out, I believe the first years were Sidney Crosby playing Ryan Miller and the Buffalo Sabres way back in the day, and it was snowing out, and it went to a shootout, and it was just magical. It seemed like the best thing that would ever happen to hockey. And then they started coming out with more and more games, Stadium Series, Heritage Classics, you know, playing games in California. All that type of just crazy stuff to, you know, evidently make more money for the NHL. Surprise, surprise. That's what they're worried about. But it definitely does seem like the shine and kind of, you know, glisten that used to be the Winter Classic is no longer. I did see a stat that apparently it was the best in 4 years, TV rating-wise. So that's a step in the right direction. But, you know, my one suggestion is maybe stop using the Blackhawks and Bruins in it every single year. You know, maybe get some new teams in there. Maybe the state of hockey could get a Winter Classic here instead of just a second-tier stadium series, which did fantastic. You know, but I think they need to start thinking of ways to spice it up and get this in some real hockey markets once again.
I've got an idea, but it's only going to work if cold weather teams are in the Stanley Cup Finals. Just have all of the finals games played outside.
I love that.
But then you'd have teams like Arizona, where it's like, how are we going to keep the not Arizona, because that's going to be a while. But
right, who knows if they'd ever get there?
Yeah, I mean, it would have been Las Vegas this past year, and at that point, it's like, how do you keep the ice cold?
Precisely.
It'd just be like you'd just be skating in a lake. So I don't know. I would like to see it become more of a focal point, but we'll see if we'll see if Gary Bettman can handle that, because that is another thing that he has on his plate. So
absolutely.
Well, let's get to the Jake's Takes portion of today's segment, and I'll let you fire off to your heart's content whatever you got. That we've seen from the last couple of weeks since we closed up shop for the year back on the, I think, the 21st. So a few weeks have passed, so I'm sure plenty of burning Jake's takes. Hit me.
I'm not necessarily sure if they're burning or not, but funny enough, this guy plays for the Flames, so it's perfect. I don't know if anyone can stop Johnny Gaudreau at this point. You know, I saw last night, and I watch him every time I can, because he's probably my favorite player to watch in the entire NHL, barring Connor McDavid. But he's just electric. He's got 8 points over his last two games. So, you know, he's averaging 4 points a game in that short span. He's got 11 points in his past four games, including a hat trick. Fifth in the NHL in scoring. And the most shocking thing, and the thing that I want to throw out there, is he, you know, he's top five in scoring every single year, it seems. And he's got four more years at his current cap hit of $6,007,500. So, you know, in today's NHL, where Connor McDavid's making, you know, almost $12 million, that's he's making almost half more, or more than half of what Johnny Gaudreau's making.
Wow.
Johnny Gaudreau's cap hit is currently 51st in the NHL, and he's got four more years of that current deal. For Wild fans, just to kind of throw it into perspective, all these players are making more or just about the same as him. Zach Parise, Michael Granlin, Jason Zucker, Mikko Koivu, and Nino Niederreiter are all within, you know, $1.5 million of that. So I think when you just put that into perspective and how good Johnny Gaudreau is, it's just incredible. You know, if you don't watch Johnny Gaudreau, if you don't get to watch the Flames as much, which I understand if you're not a huge hockey fanatic or whatever, you know, watch him anytime you get the chance to, because he's just amazing and he's electric. And he's just a ton of fun to watch. So there's that. And then probably the last thing here that I want to get at is, boy, could the Wild ever use Jack Hughes. Jack Hughes is going to be the first overall pick in the draft this summer. and he's just insane. He kind of plays a little bit like Johnny Gaudreau, you know, not quite as flashy and all that type of stuff, but he's going to be a really, really good one. And boy, what a better person to get the Wild going than that guy. Quite frankly, if the Wild can get a top 10 pick in this draft, they have a really good chance of getting a stud. So, you know, that's kind of the way I'm leaning towards the Wild going this year is maybe, you know, I don't want to say the word tank because I never like tanking, but maybe it would be in their best interest to tank and miss the postseason this year if it means they get a shot at Jack Hughes.
Yeah, that might not be a bad plan. We'll see, because I think in years past they may have elected to try to wait it out a little bit more. I think we could see some things done if they continue to stumble here to start off 2019. We hope not. As you said, tank is a bad word, but definitely an incentive to do so if they want to pick up a top player come draft time. So we will see what happens there. Bonus question for today, since we are on 2019, since we're in 2019, did you do any sort of notable New Year's resolutions this year, or just going to kind of do more of the same as in 2018?
Yeah, well, I always try to better myself every single year, as I think everyone does. They use the New Year as an excuse to get some new things going and all of that stuff. I think a couple just noticeable resolutions that I think I would like to make to myself is, as a writer, as you know, a sports guy, as a tweeter, as a scout, anything like that, you know, just continue to build my brand as a person. You know, I'm 23 years old, fresh out of college still, and just trying to find my way. So I think just continuing to network, meet great people like yourself who give me an opportunity and a platform to, you know, talk my stuff and my knowledge and all of that is just super helpful. So, you know, I thank you and everyone else that gives me the opportunity to do that. So just continue to try and build my brand this year. You know, read more, write more, just continue to learn as much as I can, you know, just with everything there is that there is in life, because, you know, there's so much more to life than just a job and, you know, the day-to-day grind. You know, you got to enjoy it. You have to enjoy what you do and enjoy your life. So that, and you know, maybe even make some music here. Music is a huge part of my life, and I've always been musically inclined. You know, I was a choir boy all throughout high school and middle school and elementary school and all that stuff. So you know, I got some friends that know how to make music and all that, so maybe that's something that I do. But you know, just really try to better myself and continue to trend upward here, you know, in my early 20s as I am stumbling through life.
Well said, my friend. I've said this many times, but it's been a blast to have you on the show, and we'll look forward to plenty more of Wild Weekly here in 2019. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the first weekend of 2019. We'll catch up with you next week.
All right. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. Happy New Year.